Mark 7, from verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashen hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold. As the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not your disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said to them, well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honours me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things you do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honour your father and your mother, and whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift, for whatsoever you might be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered. And many such like things you do. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he says to them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without enters into the man, it cannot defile him, because it enters not into his heart, but into the belly, and goes out into the draught, purging all meats? And he said, that which comes out of the man, that defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousnesses, wickednesses, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. May the Lord bless that reading of his word to us tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word and pray you'll bless it to us. Speak to us, we pray. Oh, hallelujah. Build us up and strengthen us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. There is a verse in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 which says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And we want to keep our heart, that it may be pure, filled with the Holy Spirit, that we might know those positive, divinely given issues of life. Here in these scriptures, there are some aspects of the heart. I'm going to just refer back to chapter 6, verses 49 to 52. We looked at this the last time. But I just want to pick up on something which relates it to chapter 7. Jesus was walking on the storm-tossed sea. And it says in verse 49, when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and says to them, be of good cheer, it is I. Or in the Greek, I am, he said. Be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves, beyond measure, and wondered. for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. These are issues of the heart tonight. And if we start with the believers, we start with the disciples, those that were the Lord's, and yet in their troubled minds and disturbed by the storm that has been going through, and then seeing Jesus walking on the water and taking him at first to be a spirit and being afraid. Verse 52, it says, their heart was hardened. You see, the hearts of believers can be affected. We're cleansed. We have a clean heart. When we come to him, we have a clean heart. But the heart can become hardened. The Greek word gives the idea of like a stone, petrified. And there's a hardness there. Not yielding to the things of God. Not yielding to these new experiences that they were subjected to when Jesus came to them. They were with him. They knew his goodness. They knew his salvation. They should have known it was the Lord. You know, there can be times when we can miss out as believers on the blessing of God, on communion and fellowship with him, and being filled with his Holy Spirit and moving in the power of the Spirit because of hardness of heart. We don't want to yield to a fresh move of the Holy Spirit. We don't want to yield to something which we're not quite familiar with. This is what the problem was with the disciples. They weren't familiar with this idea. Jesus didn't come to them. Because faith failed them, and the sea threatened their very lives, when Jesus miraculously walked into the situation, they weren't ready for it. They were not moving in faith. They were terrified. Fear has torment. Faith cannot operate in an atmosphere of fear. And they cried out. They were troubled. And it says immediately Jesus talked with them. And they should have known that voice. And there are times when we can say to ourselves, we should know the voice of the Master. What's of him and what's not of him? And he talked with them. And when he got into the ship, he'd walked through the storm. But when he got into the ship, the wind ceased. There was calm. There was peace. When the Lord's in our life, doesn't matter how much the storm might have been raging, all the troubles and the problems and the difficulties, when the Lord's in the vessel, when the Lord's in our lives, when the Lord's in the church, when the Lord is in the fellowship, doesn't matter what's raging around, there's peace. Praise the Lord. And it says that they were sorely, greatly, exceedingly amazed. They'd forgotten about the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. They considered not. They considered not. The actual Greek word there can mean, literally, they didn't put it together. They considered not. They didn't put it together. They hadn't got it assembled together in their minds. This association that the Lord is the mighty Lord. He can do all things. And they considered not the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. Well, when you consider that feeding of the 5,000, five loaves, two fishes, feed 5,000 men plus women and children. Wow! Wouldn't you come away from that and say, all things are possible. Yes. And yet here's a situation, a new situation, and it's caught them off guard. For their heart was hardened. It was unresponsive. It was unyielding. You know, amongst believers today, there's a hardness of heart and it can rob us of the blessing and joy of the presence of the Lord. You see, this hardness of heart is linked with unbelief. They considered not. They didn't put it together. The miracle of the loaves. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 14, if you go to the end of the Gospel of Mark. And this was a time when Jesus was talking to his disciples after the resurrection, when he had risen again, and he's there in the midst of them. And he tells them off. In Mark 16 and verse 4, he said, he upbraided them, he told them off. What for? He upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they didn't believe those that had told them that Jesus was risen from the dead. Well, why should we believe a bunch of women? Especially that Mary Magdalene. Why should we believe them? Because Jesus had already told them himself that he would rise again the third day. He upbraided them with their unbelief. Oh, hallelujah. It's a privilege to know and to love the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, the first epistle of John chapter 4 verse 18, there is no fear in love. Fear inhibits faith. But there's no fear in love. if we love him. And the disciples loved him, but they lost the vision of him and who he was. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. Fear inhibits faith. Hardened hearts. So even believers can have heart problems spiritually. The hardened heart. It's not unbelieving, but it's not prepared to move into the new territory, the next territory that the Lord is leading us into. And for the moment, it can't quite get into that mode of faith. This is the Lord working. Oh, let us know that freedom from fear, that our hearts might be tender and responsive to the Lord, that we might respond in faith to him. In every new situation that he wants to bring us through, we like the situations that we've already been through. We like those things that we're familiar with. But the Lord wants to move us into new territory. He wants us to move us into new experiences, to see people being saved and born again in spirit and healed and set free. But here in chapter 7, we have the situation of a different heart problem. The hearts of those that are against Jesus. The hearts of those that don't see in him the majesty divine. They don't accept him as Lord and Saviour. They don't accept him as the Lord from heaven. And the Pharisees and the scribes come from Jerusalem. You know, the interesting thing about what it says about these people, the scribes and the Pharisees from Jerusalem, because they're against the Lord. The interesting thing about these people is how they lived their lives. How was it? By the commandments, by the traditions of men, which they adopt in place of what God has given. They come to Jesus. They've come from Jerusalem. Here is where the religion of man, the religion of Judaism, is so strong. They're against Jesus. They're trying to trick him. They're trying to trip him up. And they've seen the disciples. They're eating their food and they've not washed their hands. They find fault. That's what it says. And they say, the disciples, your disciples, they're eating their food, they're eating bread with unwashed hands. They're not talking from the word of God. What are they talking from? They're talking from the traditions of men. This is what religion is, the rules of men. And we're surrounded in churches by the rules of men, the traditions of men. And we've got to break out and move in the word of God and in the power of the Spirit of God in what God has given us. You see, these people, they set aside the word of God and they substituted the rules of men. Thousands of petty rules and regulations. Later sort of developing into what was called the Mishnah and then the Talmud. And that's what the Jews live by today. They think the Torah is behind it, the first five books of the Bible. But actually what they live by is the Talmud. The thousands of rules and regulations that rabbis over the centuries have added to the word of God. And they're eating with unwashed hands. There might be a hygiene concern about it, but, you know, a germ or two does you some good. It builds up the defences against other germs. It's the tradition. Verse 3. The Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands often, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. They're living by the rules of men. So what have they done? Let's look at verse 4. What have they done? They've put aside the glorious and mighty word of God and they've substituted for it rules about washing pots and cups and tables. And unless you do that, you're defiled. What a nonsense. And when you see it in that light, that is what the rules of men, the petty rules. And you find them in churches, not necessarily those rules, but you'll find these petty rules in churches. We've got to get away from it. We've got to live by the word of God. Hallelujah. And they said to Jesus, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders? Man-made rules. Unwashed hands. And in verse 6, Jesus quotes Isaiah the prophet. And he says, Well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, you play actors. We've looked at this word before. The play actors in Greek drama were behind a mask. A mask which might be happy on one occasion, might be sad on another, conveying to an audience over there somewhere a message that they could see a happy face or a sad face or whatever, behind a mask. Beneath they were different people. And the Lord is saying to these Pharisees, you're hypocrites. You're living behind a mask. And he says, Isaiah prophesied of you. And he quotes from Isaiah. You can go to Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. There it is. And he says, this people honour me with their lips. They say they're mine. But their heart is far from me. The mask is with the Lord. The reality is they're nowhere near God. They're far away. The commandments are the commandments of men. And they're worthless. And in vain, says Jesus in verse 7, they worship me. For they're teaching the teachings and the commandments of men. How much of Christianity today is based on the rules that men have made up, that people have made up? Now I can think of some. But this is the serious matter. As we get into verse 8. What you've done, he says, is you've laid aside the commandment of God and you've substituted for it the tradition of men. Washing pots and cups. What a thing to substitute for God's word and God's law, rules about washing up. Jesus explains their hypocrisy. He said to them, full well. It's in verse 9. This is what you're doing. You're rejecting the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. You're rejecting the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. What men have commanded. You lay aside, said in verse 8, what God has commanded. Substitute it for it rules about washing up and washing your hands. You're rejecting God's word. There's no heart for God. And you're laying the importance on the rules that you've made up. This is religion, and there is a Christian religion, you know. I don't mean the Christian faith, I mean the Christian religion of the rules and regulations of men. And you go to some churches and they get ridiculous. Rules about what clothes you have to, the priest has to wear and how he has to put them on and how many times he has to bow before the altar and all that sort of nonsense. It's back to the word of God. But Jesus brings out the hypocrisy now. He brings out their real hypocrisy. For he says, what you've done is, you've made your traditions, you've come into me, you're saying, why don't your disciples wash their hands before they eat? They're breaking the rules. He said, but what you've done is you've broken God's commandment. Not just set it aside, you've broken it. Because you Pharisees say that whatever I have, whatever I can do, whatever I own, whatever I possess, it's all for God. And therefore, my father and mother have no right or access to it. Don't you think you ought to support your poor mum and dad? No. All that I have is for God. This is what they said. They would not part with their money, with their possessions, with what they had, because they said, my life is all for God, and therefore everything that I have, everything I do, is for God, and nothing can be done for my parents. Nothing can be given to my parents. It's all for God. He said, you're breaking the commandments of God. The actual Ten Commandments say, honour your father and mother. And you're actually breaking the very core of God's word, God's commandments. You hypocrites. They said, it's korban. Korban means it's dedicated for God. You can't touch it. It's not for you, it's for God. Oh yes, the Pharisees could enjoy what they had. But it's all part of their life for God. And Jesus said to them, verse 12, you do not allow anybody, any Pharisee that makes that commitment, korban, you do not allow anyone to do anything for his father or his mother. It's wrong. You make the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered. And many such like things you do. If you look at that let's look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, and many other things there be, which they have received to hold. And then in verse 8 it says, and many other such like things you do. And here in verse 13, and many such like things you do. Do you?
Jesus picked on one thing, but he's emphasising that that's not the only thing. There are all sorts of other things that you're doing, that you're substituting for God's word. Your tradition, he says in verse 13, makes the word of God of none effect. None effect. Jesus calls the people together. Verse 14. He's dealt with them. He's dealt with their issue. What he says about these people in verse 14. When he called the people to him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that can enter into him, defile a man. You see, the disciples had hardened hearts. The disciples had hardened hearts. These here, these Pharisees, they had hearts which were far from him. It says in verse 6, if you look at the end of verse 6, it says, this people honour me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. It's one thing to have a hardened heart, but at least there's a connection with the Lord. The disciples still had that love for the Lord. But these people, their hearts were far from the Lord. Jesus called the people together and explains to them that they might listen and understand. And he says, if any man have ears to hear, in verse 16, let him hear. Nothing from without a man, verse 15, that enters into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, these are they that defile him. Say it again. There's nothing without a man entering into him can defile him. He's not talking about germs and things like that. He's talking about morality. Nothing can defile you morally or spiritually. You were worried about eating and drinking and washing up the cups and all that. None of that can affect you morally, spiritually. But the things which come out of the man, what's coming out of the Pharisees at this time, those are the things that defile a man. If the heart is not right with God, what comes out of the heart, what comes out of your life, what comes out of the mouth, defiles the man. What are these things? What are these things? Verse 20. Jesus says this, that which comes out of the heart, that which comes out of the man, that defiles the man. So what comes out of the heart, verse 31, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed these things. They had hardened hearts, the disciples. The Pharisees and the religious men of the day, they had hearts which were far from him. And now we find that it's out of the heart, and we're talking about the unsaved, the unredeemed heart, the one that's not been changed by that experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of the heart come all these vile things, which we'll look at in just a moment. In verse 17, it says, then Jesus enters into the house. It's the house that's often referred to at Capernaum. Maybe the house of Peter and Andrew. Maybe the house of James and John. But it's there. And in the house, he's away now from the crowds, he's away from the multitudes, and he's with his disciples. And the disciples ask him concerning the parable. They want to know. They want to know. And they're asking him. And Jesus is, as it were, surprised that they're asking him. And he's saying, are you also without understanding? Don't you perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? It doesn't affect the heart. It doesn't go into the heart. It goes into the belly. And the belly does what it does, and it goes out in the draft, and you pull the chain and it's gone. Or whatever they did in those days. It goes out into the draft, that's what Jesus is saying. All the stuff that's no good to you, your body deals with it, and out it goes. Can't affect you spiritually, can't affect the heart. Doesn't go into the heart. And yet these Pharisees have been plaguing the people who say, you're going to be contaminated, you're disobedient, you're not making sure that your hands have been washed, and the cups and the pots have been washed. Doesn't affect the heart. It's what comes out of a man from the mouth and in his actions that defile a man. Because that's an evidence of the inner spiritual condition and what's in the heart of man. In verses 21 to 23, he says this. And I'll read these three verses again. For from within, out of the heart of men, this is where these things come from, out of the unredeemed heart, the uncleansed heart, proceed evil thoughts. Here they are. There are a list of things to do with evil thoughts. The evil thoughts, the wicked thoughts, are dialogismos, or dialogismo is the plural. Give us our word, dialogue. Dialogue is between two people. These are wicked thoughts. In other words, what the Lord is saying is there's a dispute going on. Out of the heart come those things which challenge God. There's discussion, there's debate I don't agree with that God. Our rules are the rules that should be kept. There's a dialogue going on. You know, we're in a situation where we must accept God's word and receive God's word. We don't challenge it. We don't challenge it. We don't substitute it with other things to help us along the way, as the Pharisees and the scribes did. We live by his word. And these are the wicked thoughts, these are the disputes, the reasonings, the arguments. This is what it produces. It produces six things here, which in the Greek are plural words, and six things which are singular words. Adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, cravings, covetousnesses, and wickednesses, evils. And then those singular things, deceit. Lasciviousness, that's a mouthful, isn't it? Lasciviousness, that's immoral behaviour. An evil eye. Everything you look at, everything you're aiming for, is evil. Blasphemy, pride or arrogance, and folly or foolishness. These are the things that are in the heart. Doesn't matter how many times you wash your hands, it's not going to change that heart. Doesn't matter how much you wash the pots and the dishes, it's not going to change the hearts. And yet the Pharisees are saying that these other rules are more important than the condition of the heart. These are the things that he has listed here that drive the actions and the deeds. They're from within and they defile a man. They come out and they defile the man. Oh, praise God. What we have is the message of salvation. The message of a saviour who died for our sins. It brings to us new life, new creation. The old things are washed away. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And all that was in the heart is cleansed. Our hearts are cleansed and clean. David prayed in Psalm 51, O Lord, create in me a clean heart. Not this defiled heart, but a clean heart. And then when we're born again of the Spirit and our heart is clean, cleansed with the precious blood of Jesus, our lives are clean. Then out of the heart proceed those things which are glorifying to God. And out of our lives, the things that are glorifying to God. No wonder Jeremiah could say, Jeremiah 17, verse 19, reference, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Guess even these people, the Pharisees and the scribes, to begin and to set down laws to protect the heart and worry about things that are of no concern. Eating with unwashed hands. Religious ritual won't defile you. What comes out of the unsaved heart does defile. The rituals do not save. But a positive faith, a response of faith to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ does. And in him there is cleansing. Hallelujah. There is an exhortation in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23 and verse 26. And this little exhortation is an exhortation that we can take up too. My son, I'll add my daughter as well. Let's include everybody. My son, my daughter, the Lord is speaking. Give me your heart. Hallelujah. He says, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. Oh, thank you for the cleansing of the cross of Calvary. The blood that Jesus shed. Thank you for that new heart. The new heart that David prayed for is created in us. Oh, create in me a clean heart. And the Lord does. When we're born again of his Spirit, we're saved by his wonderful grace. Praise the Lord. You see what Jesus had to face. You see what Jesus had to teach against. And still around today. But the Lord would take us aside as he took his disciples aside. He took them away from the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. He took them away from the people thronging around. He got them into the house alone. And there he could get them to understand and to know the preciousness of the things of God and the preciousness of a clean heart. The Lord will not despise a clean heart. Praise his wonderful name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.